This is a joint production of Applesauce Kids and Living Word Tabernacle. Remember that there are piles of free downloadable materials at applesaucekids.com.
2 after 7.
That's late.
Pete's story ran over.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. Father, we thank you for bringing us together today. Father, we thank you for moving in our lives, for opening our hearts up, for really guiding us in the things that we need to do, and for showing us the directions we need to take. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, amen. We're going to start. We're on page 2 mm-hmm. of this Agape Love lesson.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to be right up here at the top here, right here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Fold your page back. Girl, did you get one of these, Earl?
I wasn't here for last week, so I don't know if
Oh, this is the same one we were working on?
The big, thick one?
This yeah,
one
here? Page 2
No,
of
the big,
eight.
Thick one.
The big thick one?
You're on page 2 of 8.
Page 2, we're going to be right here.
I got it. I got it.
Pop, pop, you okay? You know where we're at?
Well, he might know where we're at.
Okay, we'll start right here.
My Klingon death grip buddies.
Yep,
got me straight.
Lo, you okay?
Can you hear what he has? Okay. Pop, pop. He said, pop, pop, you okay? I said, he might be all right, but okay, something else. And asked him a double question.
All right. Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, so let's look at how life and death work together. Okay, so let's read this little section, this note section right immediately below that. Okay, you're going to see how the various parts start to fit together. Okay, number one under the notes is, the fruit of the Spirit is the anointing of agape love. Okay, so from the Spirit of God comes the anointing of agape love. Okay? So if you're not saved, you can't walk in this. Right? Because it's only the Spirit of God that applies this to your life.
But they don't work together. They work opposite.
What? The gift?
Yeah, you see, you can show how... Our life and death work together.
Oh, no. I said how the Spirit provides you with this agape love. Number one, still one more time. Okay. Number one under notes is the fruit of the Spirit is the anointing of agape love.
Right. I know you said that, but okay. I mean, when you started, when you said the wages of sin is death, but to give God eternal life to Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, I'm going to show you how death and life works together.
They oppose
yeah.
each other. Okay,
yeah,
yes,
right.
Okay, very good. All right, and then note number two is the fruit of agape love is life. And then number three, the fruit of the flesh is sin. And number four, the fruit of sin is death.
Right.
So you see how they go? The Spirit provides love, and love provides life. Okay, and then the second part is, the flesh provides sin, and sin provides death.
Now, are you talking about spiritual death or natural death?
Both.
One leads to the other, but yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But we're talking mostly spiritual things right here. Okay? So, to see these pieces, where the Word says this, we're going to go for the first one, for note number one, the fruit of the Spirit is the anointing of agape love. We're going to go to Galatians 5. We're actually going to have to dig your words, Bibles out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to go to Galatians 5:22.
1671.
Okay.
What verse are we going to be on, Phil?
22.
Galatians 5:22.
Okay,
all
right. That's a cover
to Klingon. Okay. Verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. this love, if you look at this word love here, it's agape love. Now there's another love called agape love. Okay? We'll talk about that. We'll get to that. Okay, but this is the most powerful love of all love words.
The God kind of love.
The God kind of love. The God-inspired love. It's not simply a God kind of love. It is a God-inspired love.
And it's called agape love.
It's called agape mm-hmm. love.
I learned
okay?
something
like, so,
get that.
So, a lot of times in the Bible, what you see is the word love. Okay? But what I'm trying to point out to you is that there are several different kinds of love. And in this particular
context... That's what I used to tell my girlfriend.
You guys are like that.
Just before you got slapped. Right? Just before you got slapped.
I put a little joke in there.
Okay, yeah. That's fine. That's fine. All right. Okay. So, this particular love comes from the fruit of the Spirit, or is the byproduct. When you see the fruit of the Spirit, what it's saying is the byproduct of the Spirit, or what the Spirit provides. Okay? So another way of saying this is the Spirit provides love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Okay? And the reason why there is no such law against this is it comes from directly from God, and God's the opposite of the law. Right?
Man has never made a law against that either.
That's right. Okay. And then, so item number two, back on the sheet here, item number two is the fruit of agape love is life. So what we're going to look at is Galatians 6:8.
And then you're going to come back to the other fruits of the flesh, aren't you?
Oh yeah, we're going to do them all. Okay.
We're on 6:8 now?
No, we're on 6:8.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we're on Galatians 6:8, which should be just down the page, or maybe the next page for you, whatever. Okay. So, and that says, for he that soweth to the flesh of the flesh reaps corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Okay? So now we see the second part. So what we see in the first two is the fruit of the Spirit is agape love, and the fruit of agape love is life. Okay? That's what you just saw in those two verses.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we'll do number three on this sheet. Number three is the fruit of the flesh is sin. Well, we just saw that. It's the same verse. You just saw it. Okay, let's read it again. Just make sure everybody sees it. For he that soweth to the flesh of the flesh reaps corruption. Corruption is sin. Okay? So the same verse covered both those, okay? And then item number four is the fruit of sin is death. And this is Romans 6:16. Yes.
Can you do those starting with 19?
I'm sorry. What?
Verse 19 of chapter 5.
Just read down through there?
No, read 5 on down to show what the fruits of the flesh is, because that's what you're going to be reaping. The fruits of the flesh is sin.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, because you gave the fruits of the Spirit.
Yes, you're right.
That's the ones I was going to ask you to cover.
Yep, okay.
Because that's where the sin is.
Okay, very good. So just temporarily, let's back up to Galatians 5, starting in verse 19. Okay, everybody there?
Yep.
Now, the works of the flesh is manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, and immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and of such like.
It's got uncleanness too in mind.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, now, who has a different version of the Bible? Because some of these words don't translate very well.
Well, verse 19 said uncleanness in mind.
Yeah, but I mean, read the whole list up there, because there's words like lasciviousness and variance and stuff like that we don't use anymore.
But even envy and murderers.
Lewdness.
But read that. So yours reads a little different. Start verse 19 and read down through 21.
Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, and heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelers, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand.
Yep. Now that's all going to make you knock the gates of hell right off the hinges.
Yeah, and when you read down it a little further, it says, okay, as I told you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All right? So I mean, can it be any clearer?
Yep.
Okay. So in this, we've seen the two divisions, operating in the spirit and operating in the flesh. Okay, you can see them. I think I laid them out pretty clearly. Okay? But this is important to repeat again. The fruit of the spirit is the anointing of godly love, and the fruit of godly love is life. So the spirit brings you love and life, and the flesh brings you flesh, sin, and death. Okay? So they lead right from one right to the other. Okay?
There's no in between.
There's no in between.
No purgatory.
And in fact, we're going
no
to
purgatory.
I'm going to show you that. Because when you repent, you immediately move from one realm to the other. You immediately move from the flesh to the spirit.
Yeah.
Right? And when you sin, you immediately fall back.
Yeah.
Because you make the decision to stop operating in the spirit. See, the spirit, operating in the spirit, you have to want it. God is a gentleman. The only way you operate in the spirit is if you look for it. You seek, you find.
Right.
Right? And if you don't, you don't get there.
No.
See, if you don't seek, you don't find.
You missed the train.
You missed the train. So it's critical that everybody understands that this is something you have to look for to get. Okay? And that means you have to look for it with your heart. All right. Now. Okay, back on the white paper. Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The flesh fights against the spirit in order to bring on spiritual death. But your will to serve God or not makes the difference. If you want to serve God, then you will not to yield to the lust of the flesh. Okay?
So it's up to you. You can't get no clearer than that, can you?
I mean, you have to make the quality decision. It all goes back. How many times have we talked about making quality decisions, right? This all goes back to making a quality decision. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to worry about it. You know, Pete talks often about that. If you don't want the gifts of the Spirit, don't worry about it. You won't get it, right?
Nope.
Why? Because it's all spiritually operated. And the only way you get spiritually operated things is if you seek them.
That's right.
If you don't seek them, you will not get them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then it goes to Romans 6:16. Oh, we just did that one. Okay, that was the one. That was the last one up top there in verse 4. Okay, but we'll read it again. Know you not to whom you yield yourself servant to obey, his servant you are to whom you obey. Whether of sin, unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness.
Yeah,
once again, you make the decision. It's your call.
Also Ezekiel 3 all.
Okay. You really want to go to Ezekiel 3?
I did.
Okay.
Well, you got it on there. You got a reason for it on there.
All right, we're going to Ezekiel 3.
You know what it said when you find the scripture starts with therefore?
Why are you there for?
You see what it's there for.
Ezekiel 3. There are only 897 verses.
That's
awesome. Huh?
That's
all. Well, you know they call Isaiah the little Bible. Did you know that?
Really?
The reason they call Isaiah the little Bible.
Yeah, I got it.
Does anybody know why?
Why what?
Why they call Isaiah the little Bible?
Yeah.
Because it has 66 books.
Okay.
And there's 66 books in the Bible.
Yeah.
And they call it the little Bible. Now, if you know how many books are either in the New Testament or the Old Testament, you can tell how many is in the opposite. All you need to know is a number, 3 and 9. Because there's 39 books in the Old Testament. So you use that same 3 and 9.
How many in the New Testament?
That's how I'm going to tell you how to find out. You take the same, if there's 39 in the Old Testament, you take the same numbers, 3 and 9, from 39. You just say 3 times 9. How many is that?
27.
That's how many is in the New Testament. Is that neat?
Yep.
I had to come up with that formula.
Takes kidneys.
Get chalk out there, please.
Somebody throw some chalk in.
Well, that's the easy way to remember.
But yes, it is.
That's good. I didn't know that. That's
yeah.
Good. There's a lot of things I don't know.
I know. There's really? There's still a couple of things I'm not sure of.
A lot of things I don't know.
I knew you'd come up with something.
I'm very humble about that. I don't know a lot.
No, I don't either. Well, we're working on it.
Whatever you want to know, ask Pete. He's
that's all.
Yeah. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I rode ahead on Monday all to task and something wasn't here. I was lost the whole day.
And then you know what?
I was lost the whole day.
And then you know what, Papa? Then when he seen me next time, he forgot what he was going to ask.
Yeah, I was lost.
He's still so lost.
Not only got lost, got confused.
Yeah, got confused too.
Yeah.
It's a good thing Pee Wee's here because she straightened the ice.
That's right. That's yeah. Right.
Well, I tell people, now ain't nobody perfect. I made a mistake once. I told a guy I was wrong, and they never found out I was right.
But when you thought about it, you weren't sure it was a mistake, huh?
Well, that's what I said. I told a guy I was wrong, and they never found out I was right. Yeah. That's a terrible mistake to make, isn't it, Papa?
Oh.
Hard to get over.
Okay. So then, the next section.
We're going to Rubens, right? Or we are?
No. And we're going. We'll be in Mark.
Oh, we'll be in Mark.
Okay.
In Timothy.
We're in Mark's
day. Yeah. We got to read the sentence.
We got to read this little paragraph here.
Yeah.
Okay. It says, "Agape love makes you aware of your righteousness, not your sin, because it is an anointing of God." And that talks about Mark 5:16 and so on.
We're going to Mark 5.
Mark 5:16.
We don't take prisoners here, Ron.
16-21. Well, you got out of reading the last one. You started yet.
Okay.
He started something, didn't he?
"And he came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwellings among the tombs. And no man could bind him, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains."
Excuse me, where are you reading from?
Mark 5.
Mark 5?
Oh, I started right at 5:1. You want me to start at 5:16, don't you? I think.
5:16.
Yeah, I was going to read the whole chapter. Okay, I'm going to do 5:16-21.
All right.
Okay. "And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devils, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devils prayed him that he might be with them. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto them, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for you, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and they all marveled."
Okay. And that goes back to this here, that agape love makes you aware of your righteousness. See, he didn't tell them.
I have one more scripture.
Oh, okay.
"And when Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea." Okay. Now all done.
Okay.
I just was going to read what you told me.
Oh, all right. So this is the story of the man who was possessed by demons in the cemetery, okay? And Jesus comes over and delivers him from the demons. And the people of the town were really upset because of all the things Jesus was doing, right? And they tried to get Jesus to leave. And so Jesus ended up, he cast all of the demons into the swine, because they were Jews and they weren't supposed to have pigs.
Okay? Wait, you know something, Phil?
What?
really, Jesus didn't cast them into swans. They asked permission.
Right. Well, they asked permission.
And,
that's
and
right.
He said, go ahead. Well, yeah. The reason I'm saying that, because yeah. I've heard people preach that. They, yeah. Oh, he cast a demon. Jesus don't have nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
He cast them out
yeah.
of the guy.
That's right.
He said, well, let's go to swine. Go ahead, you know.
Yeah.
Because those people weren't supposed to be eating pork or herding
right.
pork, and they were herding swines. They're Jews. They're not allowed to eat it.
That's right. So in any case, when this all came to a conclusion, this guy ends up in the boat going back with Jesus. And Jesus says, don't follow me. It's your turn now to go out and tell people the great things that Christ has done. Right?
Right.
So it made you aware of your righteousness now, not where you were, but who you are now. Okay? So all things are passed away, all things are new. Right? And so he said, now's your turn to go, you know, deliver the word to others.
Right.
Okay, and that's what he's doing. Okay. And that's why he didn't want them following him. You know, this man, you know, his calling from Christ was to go tell him what had happened to him. You know, sometimes the best witness for someone is the witness, you know, this happened to me, you know. You know, when people who are on drugs and all get finally cleaned up, one of the most powerful things they can say is, hey, I used to be a drug dealer. Now I'm helping you get clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
They can witness yeah. very well to them.
Well, they've been there. They've been there.
The one that gets the deliverance knows they got delivered from
yeah,
that
that's
awful
right.
stuff.
That's right. So anyhow, so this is an example of that.
Well, that agape love made yes. Jesus a friend of the sinner.
That's absolutely right.
And then that man became like Jesus.
There you go.
The same kind of love, huh?
That's absolutely right.
Way to go, Ron.
So he's passing it on.
Yeah. Yeah. You ever hear that Southern Gospel song? He saw it all. Just, if you don't trust me, just ask the blind man. He
yep.
saw it all.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it. That's good. That's good.
That was a lame man running or something?
It's
yeah.
about
and then
miracles.
A blind man.
Yeah.
Yep. That's it. I love that song.
You know, but it's all about, you know, I was there, man. I know it. I saw it.
Yep.
But those are the most powerful witnesses. Okay.
Well, it's just like today, just if you hear people say, I can't quit smoking. Say, yes, you can too, pal. I used to smoke. I quit smoking. Or somebody will say, well, I just can't quit drinking. Say, oh, yes, you can. I quit. You can quit. You yeah. just got to reach down there and get a hold of something mm-hmm. inside of you and say,
right.
look, come on, self. Do it. You
have
can do
to
it.
Want it.
Willpower.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you have to. I honestly believe that it's something you have to want, though. If you don't want to be delivered, you won't be delivered.
Oh, no, absolutely. Correct.
I did the same thing.
Yeah.
Just like I was smoking 3 packs a day.
Yeah.
And I just quit cold turkey just like that.
Yeah.
But I don't want them anymore.
Yeah.
And same thing with alcohol, you know.
Yeah, Gladys used to say the same thing about them. When they finally got to a point where they wanted to quit, they just stopped.
But see, I never smoked. I used to get hot sometimes, but I never smoked.
Oh. Was that nickname was Sniffer.
That's good. Okay, let's try 2 Timothy 2:1-26.
Goes to 18.
Oh, that's a whole chapter.
Maybe it's only down to 18. I never claimed to be the world's greatest typo.
You're going to hit chapter 2:1-26.
Unless it went
2:1-26. Wait a minute. Here, we got a discussion going on.
You can have all the way down
to 26. Yeah, there's 26. What'd you do? Erase some of them?
This is first?
No, second.
2 Timothy.
Yeah, 2 Timothy. It's only 26.
It's
exactly
26. That's exactly 26 in there.
Okay.
I was looking at it cross-eyed.
Okay. Hey, I've been there before.
Both eyes looking at his nose.
Yep, that's right. Okay. Pop.
Yep.
Where you at there, dude?
You right?
Yeah.
Yep. Read 5 and we'll take turns.
You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus. and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he completes according to the rules. Competes.
Okay. Lois, 6-10, please.
The hard work, hard working farmer must be first to partake of the crop. Consider that I say, and may the Lord give you understandings in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory.
Okay, so what has he told us in the first 10 verses here? That you need to dedicate yourself to the work of Christ.
Yeah, you got to discipline yourself.
You have to discipline yourself. You don't get there by being here.
No.
Right? He says, don't wrap yourself up in the things of this world. Right? And we'll show you that again here in a few minutes. But the idea is that if you want to be a master of something and you want to master a skill, you dedicate yourself to learning that skill. Right? Want to be a farmer? You dedicate yourself to being a farmer.
Right.
You can't call yourself a farmer if you don't own a tractor, don't have a place to plow, you know, I mean, right?
And you're not, and you can't call yourself
a
farmer.
You don't have no dirt.
And you don't have any dirt.
Yeah, but you can't call yourself a farmer if you're not outstanding in your field.
That's it, right?
Right. You've got to be outstanding in your field.
So saying the words, just simply saying, I'm a farmer, and you really don't have any of the stuff farmers do, right? Are you really much of a farmer? You know, I could sit here and say, well, I'm a Martian, right?
But no, you're not a desperate man.
Yeah. I've heard that before. What do you mean?
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, I've never been to Mars, right? I've never rode on a spaceship. I mean, you go down a long list here.
But
right?
You got pictures of me.
But I got pictures from that.
He just might be.
But, I mean, you know, you are what you dedicate yourself to do.
That's right.
Of course, if you can shoot the bull real good, you can be almost anything.
You might be able to convince
somebody. To yourself.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're wrapped up in the things of the world, you ain't wrapped too tight.
That's probably true too.
Wouldn't you think that, Earl?
I would think so, yeah.
Okay. Earl.
11?
Mm-hmm. Yes, 11 through 15, please.
11 through 7.
This is a faithful saying. For if we die with him, we shall also live with him. 12. If we endure, we shall also resign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us.
Whoops, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. 13. If we are faithless, he will remain faithless. He cannot deny himself. 14. Remind him of these things, changing them before the Lord, not to strive by words to no profit to the ruins of the hearers. 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, named rightly, dividing the word of truth.
Okay, well, I'm going to read down through this again, because there is some serious stuff here that's really directly related to what we're talking about. Go back to verse 11, and it says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead to with him, we shall be alive with him.
Right.
Okay? So if you... What did he do? When did he die? He killed his flesh, right?
Or
he didn't kill himself, but his flesh was dead, right? He lived the life, and that caused the Romans to kill him, right? Mm-hmm. And he expects us to do the same thing. Not commit suicide. I'm not saying that, but...
No, death, burial, and resurrection.
That's
die
right.
out to the world.
That's right. You die out to the world, to the things of the world. Verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. you know, people talk about, well, you know, how do you get, I heard somebody a while back say something about, I want to be another, you know, Kenneth Copeland or somebody, right?
Billy Graham.
Billy Graham or whatever, right?
He don't want another one.
He doesn't want another one. He wants you to be you, right?
He got a Billy Graham.
And the only way you're going to get there is to go through what they went through,
right?
They didn't just magically show up and all of a sudden they were preachers, right?
They had
to walk the walk just like we all have to walk the walk to get where they are.
Yeah.
Right? And we're never going to be the same as they are.
No.
We're going to be us because we have different experiences and different ways of doing things and we have different understandings of things. And it's important that we're us and not them.
Yeah.
Because there's other people like us that we have to teach. Right? If there was nobody else for us to teach, the word says right here, he says, when you grow up in this stuff, you should teach somebody. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that means there's somebody out there that needs the message that we have.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, right. It's that simple. Right? So, it's important that we fulfill our calling. Right? So, the word says that the hand is not a being in itself, but that the eye is not superior by itself, or the ears aren't, right? That we are one body joined together that works perfectly together.
Fitly framed together, perfectly.
Fitly framed together, right? So each one of us are important, and each one of us has something God wants us to do.
Right?
Right.
Right.
So it's important that each one of us jump in, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not good to be a fence sitter. Because you don't get anything done but a wore out butt. Right? You ever sit on a fence rail long? It hurts.
That might be the Lord trying to tell you, hey dude, to get on your feet, you gotta get off your seat.
That's it, right? I mean anybody that's been around the farm very long at all, you know, if you ever sit on a farm fence, after a while that wears on your butt.
You learn to lean on them then.
Yeah, then you learn to lean on them a little bit. Okay, I think I covered the important stuff right here.
He said if we deny him.
Deny him, he also will deny us.
Oh, yeah, okay, yep. So, if we're not doing what God's telling us to do, what are we doing?
We're denying him,
right? We're not participating in the things he's calling us to do. If all we're doing is sitting on the sideline, half torn between the flesh and the spirit, where are we at?
You need a high flesh. You out of his mouth.
Yeah, say it again so they can hear it in the cheap seats.
He said, Jesus said that he would, that you be hot or cold. Because if you're lukewarm, he's going to spew you out of his mouth.
There you go. So it's important to fire yourself up here a little bit.
Yeah, because even like if you're in a conversation with a group of people and they start talking about, how bad God is, and if you don't stand up for what you believe, you're denying Christ right there in the group.
Yeah.
And you go with them, which is of the world, instead of standing up for righteousness for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Because you'll see some Christians that aren't too strong,
they'll
go with the flow of the world because they're alone with a group.
Yeah.
And they're ashamed.
They're not strong.
They're not strong, or they're ashamed to admit that they are a Christian.
And in some respects, it's because they haven't tore themselves away from their old life.
Right.
No, because the Bible tells you, you renew your mind.
Yeah.
Now, the only reason the Bible tells you renew your mind when you become saved.
Because the old one's dead.
Well, you got a bunch of stinking thinking in it.
Yeah.
And he tells you to keep your conversations holy. So it's like Pee-wee said, if you're in a room with people and you're a Christian, you say, man, I better not say this because they'll all start getting on me. You got a perfect audience to witness to, instead of letting them control the situation. Yeah. Tell them, say, you know, you, excuse me, but I really appreciate you not saying that because that really offends me because I'm a Christian.
Right.
Let them know. Then, I'm sorry. They'll start coming around to your side of the counter.
Yeah.
That's right, because there's a woman customer came up to me the other day, and she says there was a man down the other end saying that he was a Christian, but she said every other word out of his mouth was a cuss word.
Yeah.
And she said, I don't think he really is a minister. I said, I don't believe he's a minister either. I said, because a minister would not
speak
use that
foul
language.
Christian would cuss either.
Oh, yeah, they would.
Who?
Some of them.
A good one wouldn't.
Not a good one, a righteous one wouldn't. You're absolutely correct.
But just because, like I said, they say they're a certain thing, but they're not living it.
That's it.
And when you're in a group of people, people listen to your conversations and what goes on. And if you're representing to be a Christian, you better act like a Christian. I don't care who's around.
Because I told this one woman one time, it hadn't been too long ago, she used an F word a lot. And I told her, I said, there's other words to use. You don't have to use that word.
Yeah. Yeah, and say, why use those words when there's a lot of clean words you use?
Yeah, every other word was F this, F that, F that.
When they tell me, say, excuse my French.
A woman. You know, it's a true.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I work with them like that. And I told them, I said, hey, you know, I appreciate you wouldn't ask. Oh, excuse my French. I said, let me tell you something, honey. That ain't French. That's just out filthy, rotten English.
Yeah.
And when, because they try to use that, excuse my French.
It's lack of vocabulary.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's too much vocabulary. They're filling in. They're filling in where you don't even need another word.
Yeah. And another thing you see is people who say, "Oh well, I'm hanging out with that group so that my light will shine on them."
It ain't shining.
Uh-uh.
No, theirs is getting dimmer and dimmer, and the world's getting.
That's right. That's absolutely right. I have never seen a situation where someone has told me that, and I've heard lots of people say it, and where they actually had a real Christian impact on those people.
And in Christian conversation, well, I'll just give you an example, a good example. I was yesterday, I took some stuff down to sale for people, you know, for plants and stuff. And this guy's there, and I'm selling a plant, or a couple of plants, and he says, it said something about it. It said something about that, let me know that, I know, I told him about these plants are going to produce real well because my wife prays over them all. He said, oh, he said, I'm a Christian. He said, I believe that. And I said, oh, I said, well, that's wonderful. I said, you're from around here? He said, oh, yeah. I said, I live in Dover. And I said, well, you know, I said, we've got a big march for Jesus Saturday that ends up on Legislative Hall. You know that?
Yeah.
And I said, it's going to be very nice. So there's a lot of churches going. He said, well, this church ain't going to name the church. I'm not going to say it. This church ain't going, is it? I said, I don't know. I don't know. He said, well, I don't like the pastor at that church. And then he started saying something about another church. I said, well, why don't you just come in and look it over and find out? He said, oh, well, Saturdays, he says, after he's going to tell me how great a Christian he is. He said, oh, Saturday, he said, I had to go to Wilmington. He said, I always go to Wilmington on Saturdays. That's where I go see my grandchildren on Saturdays. But he told me he's all retired and all. He could go see them anytime. But he's telling me how good a Christian he was. But when I asked him to come to see the March for Jesus, telling him there's going to be a parade down at Spencer's and all of them go over to the Legislative Hall and all. Then he found all kinds of excuses.
Yeah.
He wants to talk it, but he don't want to walk it.
Yeah. I found it. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were in a Christian organization. I'm not going to say which one it is, and asked them if they were coming. You know, trying to invite them. You know, if they weren't coming, come on, and to the March for Jesus. And he says, well, they don't believe like we do. And I said, really?
All the churches in Dover getting together, somebody's got to be like he does if he's a Christian.
The problem is that, it's, you know, commitment. All the sinners are making lots of noise and they're overshadowing some of what we try to tell. And unless the Christians, all the Christians, stand up together, you know, the voice of God in the community is diminished.
Mm-hmm.
They need to get together and at least show by sheer numbers how many of us are united in the things of God. And for no other reason. I don't care if you talk to the booth next year or not.
Right.
Just as long as there's
just be there and hand out tracts to other people.
That's it.
Yeah. If you don't, people's personalities is people's personality. Every Christian has their own personality. That don't mean that every Christian. There's a whole lot of Christians I don't want to come to my house for Sunday dinner.
Yeah.
But there's a whole lot of them that I would appreciate going to their house for Sunday dinner.
Yeah.
You know? But you got it. just he just about missed that. The papa started shaking his head. But But there's just some Christians that you don't want to fellowship with because they might be baited or they might have a complete different perspective of what the definition of Christian is, or growing in Christ, or not wanting to grow in Christ, or they think, no, I'm saved, that's all I need to do. And still think it's okay to go see an X-rated movie or something like that, or whatever. You know, there's some Christians that you just don't fellowship with because they don't believe like you do. They don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Ghost, for example. They don't believe it's necessary to be baptized, for example. They just went to church, and they believe that if you go, I know some church assemblies say, you got to get baptized in their church to join their church. Mm-hmm. You know, and they think you had to get baptized to join their church assembly, their name on their building, if it's Baptist, Methodist, or Presbyterian, whatever it is. They think you got to get baptized to join that church. No, so I don't want that argumentative background. I said, look, open your Bible. Let's go to this scripture. Let's look and see what the Bible says about it. No, I got my own beliefs. Well, then if you've got your own beliefs, there's not the Bible beliefs. So I don't want to spend time with them people.
Yeah.
And I would still be there handing out tracts or something like that. Yeah.
But it's important that the world sees the number of Christians. Right. Whether you talk to the booth next to you or not, I think it's an important event. And one of the reasons why liberal television just sort of runs over us is because we don't stand up for anything. And if you don't stand up for anything, you are nothing.
Well, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Television is getting ridiculous with some of their language.
Yeah.
And shows. I mean,
not only language, just everything about it. You know. Okay. Anyhow.
Okay, it was your turn to read, Phil.
Mm-hmm. It was?
Yep.
Okay. So we're in 2 Timothy 2.
6.
15.
Okay. I don't know why I do that.
Okay. And it says, study to show thyself approved unto God.
We did that one.
Huh?
We did that one.
Yeah, do 16 you started.
I'm just leading into it.
Nah, you got tricked. You thought you got tricked. That's wrong.
I'm leading into it.
You sure are.
I got to get you warmed up.
I think that was a homemade saying.
But it's important. Watch this.
Very important.
Watch this.
All of them.
That's a good one, too.
Okay.
Why don't you read 15 again?
I will. And this time I'll complete it before you interrupt me.
Yeah. Hard to be humble.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. That's important.
And
rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen. Very
okay?
Good.
So you study, which means you put effort into it, you will to do it, right? So that you learn and grow in it, so you're more skilled at it.
Well, you show yourself approved in agreement with the word.
That's it. Okay, verse 16. This goes right back to what Earl was talking about. But shun vain and profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness.
That's right.
And their word will eat as doeth a canker, of
mine's
whom...
Well,
cancer.
Well, anyway.
Canker and cancer is the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Of whom
even caterpillars sing
is Hymenaeus and Philetus, I guess, who concerning Philetus. The truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthroweth the faith of some. Ooh, you're in trouble. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Yeah, there's a great big thing when you said that about verse 16.
Yes.
When we was talking about the conversation with other Christians, and some of them
says
words that shouldn't say at all. It tells you real clear there. You shun that.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up in that conversation because it's profane and vain babblings. They'll only increase in more ungodliness. You cannot turn them people around. If you, like, whoever was said, well, I'm there to show them that my light will shine in that group or something, as you or Pee Wee. But whatever, it was you. But your light's not going to shine there. It tells you to shine and get away from that, so you're doing contrary to what the scripture tells you to do.
It's very hard to witness in large groups when you're around a lot of people who don't agree with you, because they do gang up on you, and they'll sort of, and eventually they'll push you away.
No, not necessarily. They'll watch you like a hawk, though. Yeah, you know, I'm talking about that on the workforce.
Yeah.
On the workforce. Yeah. They'll watch you. And I used to tell people, say, you can't listen. Oh, yeah, you can. You watch me. Yeah. And then they all watching you. So that's good.
Well, they'll watch you anyhow, I think. But anyhow, the idea that to witness, you really need to do it in small groups. In small groups that are willing. Okay? That's the way I feel about it.
One-on-one.
Witnessing to really large groups is difficult as long as they're really opposed to what you're saying. But
yeah, because like that one guy on TV, he's a young guy, he'll go out there and he'll get up on a box. Yeah.
Soapbox.
Soapbox. And he'll start talking to the people. Then when a crowd comes and he starts talking to them about Christ.
Yeah.
He asks them questions.
Yeah.
And then when they look at you like, oh, I didn't know that. See, then he goes into it. He'll ask them different things. That's really good the way he does it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, did you know that in Japan, the towns have a place, like in the town square, where anybody could come and say anything. This is true. And so, occasionally when you're in a Japanese town, you know, you're sightseeing or whatever, you will see somebody, this is how they do it, who has a box. And he'll put the box on the ground, and he'll stand on the box, and they'll just start talking about whatever they want to talk about.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of interesting. And then after a few minutes, of course, I don't speak Japanese, but it's interesting to watch, right? Because all of the Japanese people will sort of hang around here, and they'll hear, and every once in a while you'll see somebody sort of, wow, he's nuts, you know, just run off.
Yeah.
But sometimes people will stand there and listen
to
them.
Yeah, but if only one runs off, 100 listens.
Yeah. Well, they do that in this country, too.
Yeah, but it's not quite as open as it is there for doing that kind of stuff.
But most of the time they do in this country, they are nuts.
Yeah. It's hard to be humble.
Well, that guy that Pee was talking about, he'll do it in parks and all like that, where there's people.
Remember that old guy used to go around over holler? Yep.
Repent.
Yeah, that guy down Harrington still is there.
Is he still? He'll run down there, repent, in the neat beats.
No, that's not him.
And everybody look at him like
he was a black guy. Used to it.
Oh.
You remember that?
He used to go to Spence's, used to go to Walt.
Some old guy, he
ran over.
He must be dead. He must be dead now or something.
Yeah,
because whoever's doing it in Harrington,
he walked through the parking lot.
He would walk through. He wouldn't talk at a normal. He'd holler.
Yeah.
Repent, the end is coming, and he would just throw his arms around, and hey, Bob, say, look at him, you know.
Yeah.
But they heard what he said. They'll remember what he said too.
But most people thought he was crazy.
Those that die and go to hell will definitely remember what he said.
Yeah.
It's too late.
But
the guy
at
Harrington, he's right that light. He has bullhorn.
Well, that's a preacher.
Oh,
I thought there was a pastor.
I don't know.
The guy in
sometimes they'll have a youth group comes around the fair time.
Yeah.
There'll be a youth group there with signs on the corners and asking for people to repent and things like that. I said, if that's the only word they get, hey, I give it to them.
Yeah,
that's great.
Oh, yeah, he's got scriptures out there to lean up against the truck and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Got a big sign in the back of his truck?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, verse 20, this last one in this group, it says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor and some of dishonor. Whoops.
Yep.
You don't want the ones, you know, so the vessels, see, that we are spirits in vessels,
mm-hmm.
right? This body is a vessel, a container,
yeah,
right? So, you know, you got to watch yourself. God expects you to walk the walk.
Yeah. And it's one or the other. It's either a vessel of honor or it is a vessel of dishonor.
Yeah. In fact, next verse it says, if a man therefore purge himself of these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meant for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Mm-hmm. Flee also youthful lust. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Okay? What is he saying? You should walk the walk.
I think you ought to read that other one.
Okay. Verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid.
Absolutely. That's the biggie.
Knowing that they do gender strife. Okay, in other words, if you're just in a big argument, who's learning anything?
Nothing. Nobody.
Nobody's learning
anything.
Well,
Satan's winning.
Yeah. Because you end up banner and fire.
Well, it's like you said, it's easier to witness the one-on-one instead of a big group that's going to try to beat you up on it.
Yeah, that's right. Now, you know, that having been said, there are some situations where one person can do this. I heard a story many years ago about an old lady who used to go into the biker bars and witness. There's a little old lady who used to go into the biker bars and witness, and she had quite a bit of luck, you know, because they weren't going to beat her up, right? You know, I mean, they weren't going to get in the middle of a big fist fight with her.
Or steal her Social Security check.
Steal her Social Security check or anything. You know, she just happened to be the right type of person to do it, right? So, great. Would some of them ignore her? Absolutely. But she said every once in a while she'd get one, you know?
They either had to stay there and listen to her or walk out, one either, because they couldn't do anything to her physically.
And they weren't going to leave before they drank the rest of her beer.
That's right.
So she had a captive audience. Really.
Yeah, she sort of had a captive audience, right?
Yeah.
So
it'd be like a grandma that they would remember.
That's right. You don't dare touch her. I mean, the cops would be there in a heartbeat.
Well, the guy sitting on the other side of her, he'd beat you up if you gave too much mouth.
Somebody there would.
Yeah. So, but that's kind of an unusual situation, you know. Yet, but occasionally you find somebody or some situation where you can do that. But generally, it's not easy to do. Let's see, verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Some of that stuff's hard to do, man. And meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves. See, who makes the decision? They make the decision, right? That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who has taken captive by him at his will.
Yeah. They had to grow and learn.
You have to grow and learn.
Get out of it.
So it's up to each person to make a quality decision. Right? What's a quality decision?
To do
what's right in the Lord.
Well, a quality decision is a decision you're really going to do.
Yeah, right.
See, if I say I'm going to be a space guy, right? But I don't learn all of the space guy stuff.
Don't identify himself.
That's right. Hey, once you learn to cling on death grip, I mean, what do?
Yeah, but you are, right?
Huh?
You are.
What?
Creflon.
Space guy. Coming from Mars. Right?
That's right. But I mean, if you don't do anything to get there, if I say I'm a farmer, right? And I don't learn how to farm, and I don't know how to run a tractor or anything.
And you don't own a hoe.
You know, I'm not much of a farmer.
You're a hoe down.
Right?
It's just idle talk.
It's just a bunch of talk.
Like spitting in the wind, you know?
That's right. That's right. So a quality decision is a decision that you actually act on and actually do, right? You do all the steps it takes to do that.
Yeah.
You know? So
you're not doing it. It's just like Peter, Paul, and Mary used to say, the answer is born in the wind.
That's it.
You're just talking through the air. It's just gone.
That's it.
So, well, what's your answer? Man, blowing in the wind, you blew it away.
That's right.
You wouldn't listen.
That's it. So, how are we doing? Oh. Okay.
Oh, man, we're doing good. We still got a couple more minutes.
Let me see here. We made it all the way to 2 Timothy. We made it, what?
2 Timothy 2, 1 through 26.
We got that one done. Okay.
But you know,
this is why my lessons take 6 weeks to cover 4 verses.
Well, that's good.
But do you learn anything?
Yeah. It's good. It really is. It's not a time thing. Time issue.
No. I mean, we get done.
We die.
We're here till they call us.
We're here for the duration.
Yeah. Plus 6.
That's it.
Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that we can gather together in your holy name and enjoy your holy name, your holy word, learning of you, Lord, and learning
Amen.
Our job to do in you, Lord, that we'll do what you call us to do, and that we'll be the example that you want us to be, Lord,
Amen.
That we will walk upright before the world, Lord, that we will have our light shining for you to your glory forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This is a joint production of Applesauce Kids and Living Word Tabernacle. Remember that there are piles of free downloadable materials at applesaucekids.com.